When Wendy called me and she said, in the beginning, and I thought, in the beginning, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so I thought, well, this is good. I can talk about anything from the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation. Because he created it all. He has it all. And so, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. And don't you love these different decorations? Oh, my goodness. Y'all are the best decorators. I wish I'd have had y'all around when I was doing ladies' seminars at our churches. Because I love the ideas that people come up with. Who did those puzzles? Did you really do all those puzzles? You know, I don't even do crossword puzzles. My idea of, and I have these in the bath. Is this being recorded? My son told me to always ask that because, you know, I kind of open my mouth. You know, my favorite verse in the Bible is, set a watch before my mouth, O Lord. And so one time I was speaking for Miss Buchanan, and I just think you're here, I'm here, and that's anybody that's here. And so I spoke with Miss Buchanan's group, and I spoke on the change of life. Hello. And then I always talk about my kids. And so I said something about my kids, and I got home, and my youngest son said, Mom, I hope you didn't say anything you didn't want to. And I said, why? And he said, you're on the internet. And I called her back, and I said, Sarita, I'm on the internet. And she said, well, did they ask you? And I said, no. And so she called the sound man real quick, and she said, kill it. Take it off. So that's why I always ask, is this going on the internet? Somebody up above said no. Oh, but there are men in here. See, I always like to check that out, too, because, you know, you say some things. Do what? They're hiding. They are hiding. I know. I heard this voice. No. So, anyway, I lost train of thought now. Okay, so we're talking about in the beginning. And I thought about, well, what am I going to talk about this year? And so God gave me something, and I hope that it will help you in some form or some fashion. And thank you again for inviting me, and I feel so privileged to be with Loretta Walker. Oh, my goodness. I've known Loretta now about 30 years. My goodness. And we still look the same. And our children are now older than we were when we met each other. So, oh, she's a hoot. She's a hoot. She's a lot of fun. She'll have to do my thing with you this year. Last year you had those red boots that are deceased. Yeah, yeah. But we did our boots are made for walking to show our age. So you and Loretta can do it this year. So, but anyway, okay, in the beginning. Now, you may think I'm just totally crazy, and I am. And I told you my verse is, set a watch before my mouth, O Lord. It's got a big star beside it in every Bible I've ever had, because I know I will get to that at some point in time where I say the wrong thing. So, but anyway, okay. Everything we have belongs to God. And if you don't believe that, you ask the people in Houston, Texas. Or you ask the people in Florida that just had to get out. I mean, did you hear about the one, you know, I was telling you different stories about them. Did you hear about the one where the lady was up on the roof and she had the plastic thing and the guy, the rescue guy says, ma'am, you can't take that. That's too much. And he said, you've just got to have a bag of stuff. And if you noticed, all the people were going out with just the bag of stuff. She looked at him and she said, that's my two babies. Oh, my soul. She was protecting her babies from the rain and everything coming down, and she had them in a big plastic thing. And so that guy just, you know, yes, ma'am, let me have that. But people do anything to save their children, and not all children got saved. And so, you know, we learn we're here on this earth, but nothing is ours. Nothing is ours. And 1 second after you're gone, so is everything you ever owned in life. Because God owns it. And to a lot of people, God bless their souls and for what they've gone through in Florida and in Houston. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies. I've never seen the hand of God work as much as I have in the past few weeks with everything, how people kicked in and did what they were supposed to do to think of somebody besides themselves. And it was when I would watch Houston, in fact, that first night I told my husband, I said, honey, I feel so guilty. And he said, why? And I said, because we have a boat out in the front yard. And I said, and we have a house. And we could just go down there and scoop up about 20 people and bring them to our house and feed them and take care of them. And he said, honey, you and I are old. And we probably would drown before we got somebody else out of there. So, you know, sometimes you just got to know what you can do. So we were able to go to Walmart and get some underwear and T-shirt and things that people needed. And it was so funny because I was grabbing things and he was. And so he said, what are you doing with those shoes? And I said, when Mrs. Buchanan got flooded out last year, I said, she told me that the one thing she did not grab was shoes. She said, now when you're older, you're going to grab your important papers and your medicines. And she grabbed that. And she said, she got two changes of clothes for both of them. And that was it. And she said, but the thing was, she didn't think about that they were fixing to go through all that water and stuff, and that she only had the pair of shoes on. So I kept getting all these shoes the other day from Walmart, and my husband said, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing this for Miss Buchanan. Whoever this is isn't going to have another pair of shoes, and they need shoes. But you know what? Everything in a moment can be gone. But God's hand was shown, and those people got down there, and they helped, and they're helping in Florida. And thank God for a president that cared, and he was trying to do what he could do, and he got them help ahead of time. And I just didn't hear all the bitterness and anger that I've heard a lot of times when there were floods and stuff. There were people really thanking God and thanking God for the people that were helping them and reaching out. And so, we don't know what's going to happen in our lives. And so we have to realize in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created everything, and it's His. And He can take it. In fact, Mrs. Buchanan had this little thing on her when they lost their house. And by the way, she is heartbroken that she cannot be here. She called me. She was crying. She was upset. She had to make a decision. But her poor little husband, he goes 5 steps forward and 8 steps backwards. And so he's not doing any good at all. And so she, and you just have to know Brother Buchanan to know that Brother Buchanan survives by having Mrs. Buchanan with him. And she is taking the best care she can. But she sends you all her love. She texted me last night and said to tell you that she loves you and she wishes she was here. And I told her, I said, Sarita, one of these days you will be. You'll be able to go and tell people how you made it through. How you made it through. You always taught us how to love our husbands and how to love our children and our churches and the Lord. And I said, and now you'll be able to tell us how you did it. And so anyway, February 4th, 1980, at 7:30 in the morning, I drove over to my preacher's house and I knocked on his door. He was up on the roof in his day off. Now I think about it and think, boy, he sure appreciated me doing that. But I knocked on his door and he came down and he said, yes, ma'am. And I said, Brother Heath, I've been up all night long and I'm going to die and go to hell. I need to get saved. And so he invited me to come in and right there in the foyer, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sins. And so I know where I'm going when I die. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that every single one of you in this room, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you don't, that you know Him today. And I'm going to talk about something today, and I know that sounds a little bit strange to you. But I want to teach you, when I started thinking about what I'm going to speak on, I looked up all the in the beginnings in the Bible. You should have seen my table. I had all these pages of in the beginning this, in the beginning this, in the beginning this. And so the one I decided to talk about is, one, I learned that in the beginning means a lot to the Lord. Because I looked up all the beginnings in the Bible, and many times He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's everything. He created everything, and He will end everything. I think it's going to be soon. Now, I don't know, but I'm thinking the floods in Houston, the floods in Florida, the fires in California, the tsunami in Mexico. You know, a terrorist didn't do that. And I'm sorry, but global warming did not do that. I'm telling you, God is talking to us. And I think He's trying to get us down on our knees of saying, Lord, you know, the other night when I was in bed, and my husband has one of those phones that goes off to tell you Oh, and by the way, if that doesn't get you, the rocket flying over your head is going to get you, one or the other. But his thing went off, his phone went off, and I said, "Who died, honey? It's 3:30 in the morning. You know, what's that?" And he said, "A tsunami has hit Mexico." And I said, "Is it coming here?" It's 3:30 in the morning. You know, I could have learned that at 7:30 in the morning. But we got the whatever in the middle of the night. And so, boy, things are happening. Things are happening. We better wise up. But wise up is not what I'm going to talk about in this session. In this session, in looking up the beginnings, many times he said, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." He created everything, and he will end everything. But thanks to God for eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it doesn't end here. It just starts when we get it. We don't need a house here. We got a mansion. You know, the only thing that bothers me about a mansion in heaven. Now, I'm one of those people that go, you know, do you ever think about things like that? Like one time, I had a wayward son, and I was on my couch one night, and I was just crying out to God and talking to God, and he gave me a verse, and he said, "I watereth my couch with tears," and I thought, what was Jesus doing with a couch? Have you ever thought about that? He watereth his couch with, "I watereth my couch with tears." I mean, didn't couches come in our days? I mean, you know. I mean, even back in the 40s, I just don't remember them having a big old couch in their living room. But, you know, I just do that thought. And what I thought was that he knew one night I would be up on my couch and I would be crying out to him. And he was going to tell me personally, "I know that you're hurting and I love you and I'm here with you." And so, but I do that thought about different scriptures and stuff. Well, in researching about the beginning, I came across the Lord's instructions for choosing to be wise or foolish. So this morning, I want to give you some instructions. I want to teach you something. This morning, I want to teach you how to be a fool. Now, you know, if you're going to be a fool, you need to be a good one. You know, my mom always said, if you're going to do something, do it right. So now you probably want to take some notes on this of how to be a fool. Now I looked up in the dictionary, because that's what you're supposed to do. You look in the dictionary to see the words that you're going to talk about. Okay, a fool is a person who acts unwisely. So my verse that I'm going to talk about, first of all, I had a song. Y'all can sing this with me. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the sand was. What we're going to talk today, how to be a really good fool. The scripture that I'm going to use is Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning." Told you I looked up all the beginnings. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Father, we thank you so much for the honor and the privilege it is to speak to these ladies. I never take that for granted. I love ladies, and I love to speak to them and just tell them what you've done for me in my life. So many blessings among blessings that you've given me. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one of these ladies today, and I pray that you just open up their hearts and their minds, and that something I say that's from you, not me, Lord, just give me the words to say. And I love you, Lord, and I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. In being a fool, okay, now Loretta, so I got to get this down. See, you asked me, I got Loretta a hanky.
Yeah, I forgot to pick it up.
Yeah, got her a hanky. Okay, well, one of the things the hanky's for is if you're hot, then you just, you know. Right? You know, they used to do that, you know. And then the other thing is if you cry, then, you know, you can just take your, and then if somebody sneezes, you can give it to them, but don't get it back. So, anyway, all right, so, first of all, how to be a fool. Now, you better take notes with these now, because I want you to be a good fool if you're going to be one. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, number one, if you're going to be a really, really good fool, don't read your Bible. Do not read your Bible. Now, you want to be a good fool, don't read your Bible, because you do not want to know what's in here. Because the Bible teaches us how not to be a fool. So if you're going to be a good fool, don't read your Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalms 111, verse 10. By all means, don't learn anything and don't listen. If you go to church and you want to be a really good fool, okay, look for the dust on the lights. Count the ceiling tiles. Think to yourself how you would have done this building differently. You know, if you want to be a good fool, you don't want to be paying attention to the preacher whenever he's preaching, or the music. Oh, that was a beautiful song that the young lady sang. The music, all the music has been wonderful. But I'm teaching you how to be a good fool. So don't forget, do not learn, do not listen, and certainly do not obey his commandments. Now, ladies, excuse me, I've had these allergies for like 3 months. you don't want to learn the commandments if you want to be a good fool. When I was a child, I was born, understand this, I was born a Catholic. I was born to a Catholic family. I was, 3 days after I was born, I was sprinkled. And I believed in something for a long, long time. And I was being fooled very much. My family were staunch Catholics. If you ever went to San Antonio, Texas, and you went to the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Texas, there is a picture about from those lights over there down to the base there, and it's my grandmother. She was the first graduate of the Incarnate Word back years and years ago. She was 16 years old when she graduated from that college. And they even sent us letters trying to get us to come to the, you know, centennial or whatever it was or anything. But I spent years being a fool because I didn't know any different. And I had never been under the Bible and being taught. I had a missal. A missal is full of prayers to saints. I had that. And I had gone, I was working my way to heaven. I almost got there. You know, I had been born, and then I'd been baptized, and then I'd been Holy Communion, and then I'd had catechism. I had that too. Confirmed. I got confirmed at 12. You got confirmed. And so I was working my way. You know, I think there were like 7 sacraments to get there, and I think I was on number 5. But anyway, I was being a fool. I did not know. I did not realize that the things that were being put into me was not the Word of God and what God, of how to be saved. I thought I was going to be saved because I was trying to be a good person. Because, did you know that Catholic people make the best Baptist? Amen. They really do. I'm not kidding on that. In the churches that we've been in and that my husband's pastored 2 churches, and boy, you get a Catholic saved, and whoa, they are fantastic people, workers in your church, because they are raised that way and taught that way. That, you know, I used to laugh at my husband and say, boy, the Baptists need to learn how to act in church. I said, well, my mama used to pop me in the head out on the parking lot before you ever get into the building, because you just didn't talk in the church, and you didn't, you know, run around anywhere and do stuff like that. I said, sometimes we need to do that with Baptist children. But anyway, I was a fool. You know, at some point in our time, all of us have been a fool. We've done, even after we got saved, we've done some foolish things. I know, Loretta, you were talking about that. Oh, my gosh, I could give you a list. First time, Brother Heath, our pastor, I was teaching Sunday school for him. And he was a man of grace. because he came over and knocked on my door to give me my Sunday school lesson. And I had a pair of short shorts on and a Willie Nelson t-shirt. And then I thought, I don't think so. But I didn't know any better at the time. And he was a man that just loved us enough to teach us and to help us to be different. But I've been a fool many times in my life. But one of the things about a fool is, by all means, I don't want you to learn or listen to anything, and I certainly don't want you to obey his commandments if you're going to be a good fool. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:9, speak not into the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Do you ever try to tell your kids something? And you say, now, this is what you need. Oh, mother. You know, and now, in my generation, you had to be real careful. If you wanted to roll your eyes, you kind of had to turn the other way. Because my mother didn't know anything about this abusing children. You know, she just, you know, if a fly swatter or a shoe or something was coming at you, if you rolled your eyes at her. But that's what a fool does. Is that say, I don't want to hear that. You know, if you say something, kind of like Loretta was giving us good advice about different things and what to do and everything, and you, I don't know where she gets that from. You know, I'm not going to listen to that. That's the fooling. And we want to be careful about being a fool. Okay, all right. So, number one, don't read your Bible. And don't follow instructions. Number two, by all means, don't learn or don't listen, and certainly don't obey the commandments. Okay. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Boy, you'd have to be a fool. You would really have to be a fool to do that nowadays and see everything happening. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Whatever you do, if you want to be a really good fool, don't get saved. Because the fool has said, there is no God. And so that's a pretty big fool that would say that. And so anyway, it says, whatever you do, if you want to be a good fool, don't get saved. Just say no. Say, no, I don't want to get saved. And then one day you can die and go to hell. And boy, won't you be a great fool. And this bit about all my friends will be there, you're going to be surprised. They're not going to be your friends in hell. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Remember, don't touch or read God's Word. I told you that. Although I do have to say, it names some really good fools to follow an example of. And I want to tell you about some. There's a scripture, I won't tell you this, but, you know, my husband or whoever did this found this years ago for one of the presidents that we had. It's 1 Corinthians 14:38, and it says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, that's a pretty good scripture. If you choose to be ignorant, just be ignorant. And so I won't tell you what president he said that about. But anyway, let's see who some of the fools in the Bible are. Now, ladies, somebody taught me this a long time ago about the Bible. If you're reading, you say, oh, I just get bored reading and reading and reading and everything. It's not that you're reading the Bible. It's how you're reading the Bible. See, I like to put myself right there in the middle of that story that I'm reading about. Like, I'm just sitting there when somebody's doing something, or how do they say what they say? You know, you can say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Or you can say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so, I want to talk to you about this one fool. Her name was Jezebel. Now, she was a really good fool. I mean, if you need somebody that you want to, you know, be like an example of a fool. Well, Jezebel was a very good one. She influenced her husband, which is kind of scary. Ladies, do you realize how much we influence our husbands? You know, do you know that most church splits are because of a woman? And you know what that woman does? She goes up to her husband and says, honey, if you're going to go to that deacon's meeting tonight, tell them that lady that's been doing this, she's done it too And so if he comes back and says, well, they said no, honey, I'm going to go to another church. We change churches for the dumbest reasons I have ever seen. Somebody didn't speak to me, or somebody didn't do this, or I didn't get to. Do you know some of you probably didn't get to decorate that bathroom? Oh, my gosh, Wendy, what were you thinking about? You didn't let every single lady do every single thing? Somebody's going to get mad. Why, doesn't that sound foolish? But, oh, my goodness. Loretta had one the other day when I was speaking with her about how many of you roll the toilet paper this way or do you roll it that way? And how many ladies get mad because they go in there and the toilet paper is the wrong way? And how many of you, I've done this. How many of you ever walked in there and changed it the other way? Don't we get silly over foolish things? How many times do we influence our children? Ladies, I once was young and now I'm not. And one of the things that I have seen that is heartbreaking to me is I have seen people that used to be in church serving the Lord faithfully. Amen. And I have seen their children go, don't want any part of it. And I look back and I think, man, Mom griped all the time, Daddy griped all the time. All they did was find fault, and now their kid doesn't want anything to do with church. We better be careful the influence that we have on people. You know what? A visitor coming in this church, you have influence over them. You know, I've seen some lady, I've seen this happen, where somebody will say, hello, you're visiting today, aren't you? And they'll say, yes, I am. Well, you don't want to sit over on that side. It is so cold in this stinking church. That side, we have said something to them, but they just won't change it. And makes me want to go, and don't go sit on the fourth row either, because Miss Susie sits there, and you don't want to sit there in her place. Well, hello, I'm just going to run right back to that church. You know, be careful the influence that you have on people and what you say. Many years ago, when my husband was going to go in the ministry, I told you I'd been raised a Catholic. I didn't know. First time I ever stepped foot in a Baptist church was the day I got married. And the man that was going to marry us said, I'll marry you if you're saved. And I said, oh, no problem. What do I need to say? You know, I no more got saved than the man in the moon. I was in love. And I wanted to get married. I was 17 years old. Oh, my granddaughter's 17 today. And I'm thinking, oh, my soul, I can't believe I did that to my parents. But anyway, I got saved later. Praise the Lord. But when my husband surrendered to go in the ministry, I was scared to death. I didn't know what to do. And I went to a preacher's wife that I thought, well, she's a preacher's wife. She can, you know, teach me, and she'll take me under wing and help me. And so I went, and she looked at me, and she said, I'm going to be a preacher's wife, and I want to be a really good one. And so, you know, what do I need to do? And she looked at me, and she said, I don't know. God called him. He didn't call me, and I don't want nothing to do with it. So I live and breathe. I stood there and I went, whoa. But you know, that changed my life forever. Because I made up my mind right then that if ever, ever, ever I was in a position to help somebody being a preacher's wife, I was going to let them know I'm a preacher's wife and I love it. I love it. I'd rather be a preacher's wife than anything else in the whole wide world. I love it. I don't dislike me. You know, and when I go across the country, one of the things I'm seeing is the younger ones are not wanting to be pastor's wives as much as they used to. And that breaks my heart in two, because what happens is that you want to go to a church and your husband has gone all the way through Bible college and probably worked 3 jobs and done everything he can do, gets out there and goes to start a church, and then you get in there and then you say, I don't want nothing to do with this. I want to go back home where Mom and Daddy live. I don't want to. You spend too much time with those people. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I do want to say this. Go spend time with those people with him. Get to know the people in the church and make it your church as much as it's his church. Don't be jealous or envious of what your husband is doing. Go be a part of it. It's fabulous to be a preacher's wife. And so I have to throw that 2 cents worth in, is that I was one for 35 years and I love it. And now I love being in evangelism, except I do miss the people. You know, do you do that, Loretta? Do you miss the every day where you were a part of the church? And you know what? I don't get to do bulletin boards or sing in the choir, and you'd miss those things. I got to keep a nursery the other day, and I liked that I got to, not for very long, but I liked it. Anyway, okay. So Jezebel, in 1 Kings, and I'm hurrying up so I can get this done. 1 Kings 21:7. Now, here's what I said about talking about how you read the Bible. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Honey, and I can do what I want to. I'll get it for you. You better be careful. You better be careful. Okay, so what'd she do? In 1 Kings 21:25, it says, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up." Man, you know my greatest fear is that somebody will say, "You know, Brother Ogden, he is a great preacher. He really is good. He really just, you know, lets you have it between the eyes and loves you and is a great guy." But his wife. Whoa. Oh, that would break my heart in two to ever be somebody that pulled my husband down and not lifted him up. Because God made us to be a helpmeet. And so this Jezebel, she told him exactly how you do it, and this is what you do. And so if you read it like that, I mean, I was sitting there when Jezebel said it, and she said, "You know what? I'll get that. You want that? I'll get it for you." And so what happened? It says she stirred him up. Well, how did that work out? You know, I read in a book, I forgot where it was, but I read and it says that Jezebel, before they threw her out the window, that she put her makeup on and fixed her hair and everything. I don't know what that was that I was reading, but well, regardless, she got thrown out the window. And not only did she get thrown out the window, but the dogs ate her up. I mean, so how did that work out? So be careful with that fool. Okay, moving along. What about Zeresh? And I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but anyway, she told her husband, she said, "Well, what's the matter with you?" And he says, "Oh, that old Mordecai. Every time I turn around, he's there." Now, I'm not doing the King James Bible. I'm just trying to speed this along. So anyway, she says, "Well, you know what you do, honey? You build some gallows, and you just get him hung on it. That'll get rid of him. You won't have to look at him anymore. Just build some gallows, and then they'll hang him, and then that'll take care of it." So he did. He did. And I'm sure he looked really nice swinging from it. Because he got killed himself. Mordecai didn't die. He got killed himself. Now, I wonder what she did. You know, I only found her three times in the Bible, his wife. And all the time she's telling him what to do and how to do it. We better be careful about a fool. Be careful who you influence. Be careful whose influence is you. We had to make a decision early on in our Christian lives. Somebody that had been really good to us. Really, really good to us. When things got really tough, they even moved us in with them, and they gave us our first Bibles, and they loved us and everything. But one day they came to us, and they said, "We're leaving the church." And he was a deacon there. And we thought, oh, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? You know, he's a deacon, and he's leaving, so that must mean we're supposed to go. And we were young baby Christians, and we had to make a choice. And we told him, "We love you, but I think we're where we're supposed to be, and we're going to stay right there." That couple got out of church. Their kids got destroyed. Boy, ladies, when you serve the Lord, you better do it with these right like this and say, I'm not going to do something because somebody else. Now, mind you, we've been at this over 40 years, and I've seen where other people have tried to influence. You be careful. Don't be a fool by letting people influence you. You better go down the road 30 years and say, where do I want to be in 30 years? What do I want to be doing? Herodias and Salome, that was another one where, John the Baptist had told Herod, "Well, you're not supposed to be married to that. You're married your brother's wife." And so she says she wanted to kill him real bad, but she didn't do it herself. said, I want to kill him really bad, but I don't know what to do, you know. And then she sends her daughter to sing and dance for for Herod, and Herod says, well, what do you want? And she comes back, she says, Mother, what do I want? She said, you want John the Baptist's head on a platter. Would you like to face God with that? Oh, my goodness. Be careful. What are some of the words in the Bible about a fool? Description is selfish, atheist, slander, lies about somebody, mocking sin. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I heard about a lady that went visiting one day, and she went with the preacher's wife, and she went with this other lady, and she went in, and they were witnessing to the lady in the house, and the lady says, oh, I'm just not good enough to go to church and to get saved and everything. And the person that came into her house says, oh, good grief, I'm a teetotaler. And I thought, who does that? Who walks in there and the preacher's wife is witnessing to somebody and you're trying to justify this lady's sin, so you tell her, well, oh, I'm a teetotaler, so don't worry about me. For any of you people that have never been there in your life, that means you drink. Okay, so you mocking sin. Despise instruction, contentious, causes an argument. You just stir stuff up. There's one in every church. Just stirs people up. Meddling, you're a busybody. Now remember, I'm trying to teach you how to be a good fool. Self-confidence, trusting in yourself and your abilities and your qualities. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Ladies, be careful what you say or do. Whatever you do, never pray and never ask God what to do, because you want to be a really good fool. Then you'll receive, one of these days, you'll receive yourself and other fools an Academy Award of being the greatest fool about 2 seconds after you enter hell, or about 2 seconds after you've messed your life up and it affects your children and stuff. Be careful with being fooled. Satan, you know, when any of you were ever a kid, and I'm going to end with this, when any of you were ever a kid, did anybody say, you want a piece of gum? And you'd say, oh, yeah, I do. And so you'd take that piece of gum and you'd take it out, and we used to have sleeves on them or whatever. Anyway, you'd take it out and you'd go, oh, there is nothing in this. And so the person there would go, fooled you. Well, you know, I think Satan does that. He does. He tries to fool us. You know how he tries to fool us? He says, Satan fools us by saying, being good is going to get you to heaven. I was in a religion that I thought being good was going to get me to heaven. Being good never got anybody to heaven. It's not what you do that gets you saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. So that's a lie. How we get fooled is because we say, well, my name is on the roll. I've been a member of that church for 40 years. Well, I go in a garage, but it doesn't make me a car, you know? So be careful, because you think you're saved because your name is on the roll. The roll you better be on is the one in heaven. And then you say, well, my family's going to heaven. Oh, yeah, they've been in that church for 30 years, and my family's going to heaven. Fooled ya. You're not getting there because of your husband. I'm sorry about the whatever kind of religion it is that tells you that your husband has to let you go. Excuse me, I would be in trouble. The first time I burned his pancakes, he'd say, the hell you go. You are not going to heaven, you know. Or what do those people do that go to a stop sign and they run it or something and you die right then? And you're not going to make it to heaven because you messed up that day. So I'm glad that I have a salvation that stuck February 4th, 1980, 7:30 in the morning, and it's still just as good today. I'm just as sealed today as I was then. So, ladies, if you want to be a fool, that's how you be a fool. Be careful.